For over three decades, Wichita, Kansas believed it was safe. They locked their doors, but they didn't lock their churches. They feared strangers, but not the man reading scripture beside them. Dennis Rader was a husband, a father, the president of his church council, and a compliance officer who cited neighbors for having grass too long. But behind that suburban smile lurked a monster who named himself BTK, Beaned, Torture, Kill. He didn't just murder, he orchestrated psychological theater. He mailed taunting letters to police, bragged about his projects, and posed victims in sickening tableau. When he vanished for 14 years, everyone thought he was dead or rehabilitated. They were wrong. In 2004, he resurfaced, needing attention like oxygen. What ultimately exposed him wasn't a crime scene, but a floppy disk and his own arrogance. This isn't just a story about a serial killer. It's about evil in plain sight, cloaked in khakis and Bible verses. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Monster Next Door, Wichita, Kansas, 1974. The snow had barely settled when 15-year-old Charlie Otero came home from school and stepped into a nightmare. His house was silent. The usual smells of his mother's cooking were gone. Something felt off. Then he found his parents' bodies, bound, suffocated, and lifeless. Two of his siblings were also dead. Four people, slaughtered. The police were stunned. No forced entry, no motive, no suspects. Just a crude signature left behind, a message scribbled to the police. I did it myself with my hands. I'm sorry. I killed them. Over the following months, more murders followed. A woman stabbed and strangled in her own home. Another found hanging in her closet. But what tied them together wasn't just the violence. It was the ritual. The bindings, the trophies taken, the staged scenes. In 1978, he sent a letter to the local news station, KWCH-TV, declaring his alias for the first time. The code words for me will be, bind them, torture them, kill them, BTK. Dennis Rader had a wife, two kids, a modest job at ADT installing home security systems. The cruelest irony. He attended church, gave sermons, led Boy Scout activities. His neighbors described him as meticulous, polite, a bit stern, but normal. No one suspected that the man quietly adjusting their alarm settings by day was using that knowledge to disable systems by night. From 1974 to 1991, BTK murdered 10 known victims. Between killings, he lived like an average citizen. That's what made him so terrifying. Not just what he did, but how convincingly he blended in. For a while, the letters stopped. It was as if he'd vanished. Wichita breathed again. But BTK wasn't gone. He was just watching, biding time, waiting for the right moment to reclaim the spotlight. That moment came in 2004. An anniversary article ran in the Wichita Eagle. It asked, whatever happened to BTK? Dennis Rader, now working for Park City as a code enforcement officer, felt the pull. He needed to be seen. The urge to communicate, to be feared, overpowered him. So he began again. Letters started arriving at the media and police. Photocopies of crime scene photos, IDs stolen from victims, and word puzzles that only BTK could have created. But this time, he made a mistake. He asked a cop, can I send you a floppy disk? Will it be traceable? The police, in an astonishing stroke of fortune, replied in a newspaper ad, floppy disk is safe. BTK believed them. The disk arrived. Metadata showed it had last been edited at Christ Lutheran Church. It was saved by a user, Dennis. A quick search revealed Dennis Rader, president of the church council. Detectives obtained a warrant to test a DNA sample from his daughter's pap smear, taken at her university health clinic. It matched DNA from semen left at the 1974 Otero crime scene. After 30 years of terror, Dennis Rader was arrested. In the interrogation room, he didn't resist. He didn't beg. He was proud. He recounted every murder in grotesque detail, like listing off grocery items. But the most disturbing moment was yet to come. In court. Chapter 2. The Confession, A Serial Killer's Play. The courtroom in Wichita overflowed with reporters, survivors, and the stunned relatives of victims. It was June 27, 2005. Dennis Rader, wearing a suit and glasses, stood with calm precision. He wasn't pleading guilty to make amends. He was reliving his crimes with theatrical glee. In his flat Midwestern drawl, he detailed the murder of 11-year-old Josephine Otero. "I put a plastic bag over her head. She was still alive. I had to hang her." He described binding his victims, taking Polaroids of their corpses, and calling them projects. Each murder was coded. He created manuals, kept records, labeled folders like a bureaucrat cataloging evil. When asked why he did it, Rader offered chilling clarity. "I had fantasies. I had to live them out. I had what I called Factor X." Factor X, a name he borrowed from other killers and twisted into his own mythology. To Dennis, murder was not just compulsion, it was performance. He was the writer, director, and star. The victims were merely props in his macabre fantasies. At one point, he lamented how stressful it was to balance killing with family life. "It was difficult. I had commitments. I couldn't always find the time to do a project." The courtroom sat in stunned silence. Survivors wept. Even the judge looked shaken. For the first time in Kansas history, a killer confessed to every act in a single session, with zero remorse. Rader was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences. The death penalty had been abolished in Kansas in 1994, just 1 year too soon. He was sent to El Dorado Correctional Facility, where he remains in solitary confinement, labeled high risk to others. But the horror didn't stop there. In prison, Rader began sketching his crimes from memory. He mailed them to journalists and fans. He spoke in third person. He still called himself BTK. In 2014, his daughter Kerry Rawson released a book, A Serial Killer's Daughter. She revealed how her father's arrest shattered her world and how she had no idea who he really was. She wrote, "I have to hold both truths. He was a good father. He was also a monster." To this day, criminologists, psychologists, and true crime analysts debate how a man could live a double life for so long. Was he mentally ill? Was he evil? Or was he the embodiment of a more terrifying truth, that some monsters wear smiles, attend church, and tuck their children into bed? Dennis Rader didn't just kill people. He killed trust. In neighbors, in normalcy, in the illusion that evil always looks the part. His story isn't just about what he did. It's about who he was, and how little we knew.